Our first reading this morning comes from the book of Acts. We'll be reading from chapter 2 of the book of Acts, verses 1 through 21. It's found on page 948 of your pew Bibles. So at this time, let us listen to God's word for us. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound came from heaven like the rush of a mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributed and resting on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. And they were amazed and wondered, saying, "Are not these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us in his own native language, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians? We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others, mocking, said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and give ear to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Yea, and on my men servants and my maid servants in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they will prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and manifest day. And it shall be that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Our gospel lesson will come from the Gospel of John. Again, we'll be reading from chapter 14 of John's Gospel, verse 8 through 17, and then we will skip down to verse 25 and read through verse 27. It's found on page 938 of your pew Bibles. So again, let us listen to God's word for us. "I will not leave you desolate. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more." Excuse me, let me back up. Verse 8. Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and we shall be satisfied." And Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you do not know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me, his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it, If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you, and he will be in you. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Word of the Lord. Today is Pentecost Sunday. This is the Sunday when we're supposed to talk about the Holy Spirit. Someone once said that the Holy Spirit is the shy member of the Trinity. Many of you know that when we're talking about the Trinity, we're talking about God, God the Father, God the Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit. But they point out that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is the shy member of the Trinity. And they point out that rarely does the Spirit take center stage, but the Spirit just kind of hovers in the background. But on this particular Sunday, the Spirit takes center stage. And as we read in the book of Acts this morning, there is nothing shy about it. When the Spirit comes, it comes with a bang. It comes with great power, a whirling wind, tongues of fire that send the Lord's disciples out into the streets, boldly proclaiming the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Pentecost is a very important day in the life of the church. It is one of those important feast days that probably comes after Christmas and after Easter, but is important nonetheless. But I think sometimes we have a little bit of trouble, even inside of the church, about with Pentecost. We sometimes, even in the church, don't quite know what to do with it. In the outside world, that's true as well. The outside world has learned to co-opt Christmas. It has learned to co-opt Easter. But it doesn't quite know what to do with Pentecost. Probably because it recognizes that Pentecost is dangerous. The coming of the Holy Spirit is dangerous from the perspective of the world. It's dangerous because the Holy Spirit is about truth. That's what Jesus himself said in our passage from John, that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. In a world that is run on lies, and lies are very fashionable these days, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit that leads us and guides us into all truth. The truth of God and the truth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherever the Spirit is, there is truth. Pentecost is also dangerous because it is about life. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of life. In a world that often celebrates death and believes in the power of death, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of life. Wherever people are being taken care of, wherever hungry people are fed, wherever homeless people are sheltered, wherever naked people are clothed, wherever sick people are treated and taken care of, wherever life is enhanced and enriched, you can be sure that the Spirit is blowing. Just like it was blowing on the first day of creation, when we are told that the Spirit was hovering over the chaos, hovering over the waters before the great day of creation, the Spirit is blowing. And wherever the Spirit is, there is life. But most importantly, I think the Holy Spirit is dangerous, and Pentecost is dangerous because the Holy Spirit is about power. It is about the power of God and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the power of heaven itself being poured out upon all of us, being poured out on God's people, poured out on the church. It is the power poured out upon us so that we can continue to do the very things that Jesus himself did. And in a world that is obsessed with power of all kinds, with military power, with political power, with economic power, there is nothing more dangerous than the power of the Holy Spirit, the power that is poured out upon each and every one of us, because the power of the Holy Spirit is the power to turn the world upside down. That's the power that redounds to the followers of Jesus on that first Pentecost. We need to remember that. We need to remember that the church doesn't move by its own power, but that it moves by the power of the Spirit. Without the Spirit, we can do nothing. Without the Spirit, the church is just like any other worldly institution, stumbling around trying to make its way in the world. Without the Spirit of God and the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have no power. At least not the kind of power that matters. And that's why Jesus tells his disciples right before he ascends into heaven in the book of Acts, that they are to wait in Jerusalem until they receive the power from on high, the power of God and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And at Pentecost, that power comes. At Pentecost, that power is poured out upon the whole church. And that's important too. The Holy Spirit is not just our personal, private spirit. It's not the spirit that simply caters to our individual, private needs, but the Holy Spirit is the spirit that is poured out upon all of God's people. It is the spirit that is poured out upon the whole church. Someone once said that Pentecost is the Spirit of heaven. It is the invasion of heaven of our world so that God can accomplish the purposes that we prayed for here this morning. We prayed when we prayed the Lord's Prayer that one day things will be done here on earth just like they are in heaven. Pentecost is the beginning of God accomplishing that purpose. It is about heaven coming down into this world and invading this world. This week we were observing the D-Day celebrations, the celebration of American and Allied forces invading Normandy, being the event that broke the back of the Axis powers. Well, Pentecost means that you and I are a part of a much bigger drama than what happened 75 years ago. Pentecost is about God coming down and claiming this world. It's about the power of God coming down and invading our world. And you and I are the shock troops on the front line. of bringing the purposes of God to this world, to our world. And so at Pentecost, the Spirit is poured out upon the church with dramatic effect. Wind and fire and boldness, and people who were once scared and locked away in an upper room finding themselves suddenly cast out into the streets, boldly proclaiming that Jesus is Lord, the same Jesus that was crucified, the same Jesus that was arrested, the same Jesus that was humiliated, that this Jesus is Lord. That's what the power of the Spirit propelled the church, the early church, to do. And so Pentecost is about power. The power of God, the power of heaven invading our world. But here's the problem that we have. Here's the problem that the world has, and here's the problem that we have sometimes even inside of the church. And the problem is that when we think of power, we tend to think of it pretty much in the same way that the world around us thinks about it. When we think of power, we tend to think of it in terms of strength and in terms of might. We tend to think of power as being better and bigger and stronger than everyone else. We tend to think of power, of what it is that makes us successful. Stands to reason, of course, if God is God who is almighty, if God is a God who is all powerful, then it stands to reason that if we, the church, have God's Spirit upon us, then the Spirit would help us to be bigger and powerful and successful in the way that the world understands success. Doesn't that make sense to you? But there's one problem with that understanding of power. And the problem is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Because the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, remember, is the Spirit of Jesus. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God, the God that we come to know in the Lord Jesus Christ. We remember that there was no one who was more spiritual than Jesus. Jesus had the Holy Spirit all over him. We are told that at his baptism, the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus, and it was the Spirit that propelled Jesus out into the world. In Luke's gospel, it's Jesus himself who says that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord is what sends me out to proclaim the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, the good news of God, the good news for the poor, the good news for the broken. It's the Spirit, says Jesus, that sends me out. And so there was no one who was more spiritual than Jesus. And yet, when you look at the life of Jesus from a worldly perspective, there was nothing about Jesus' life that said success. There was nothing about Jesus' life that said bigger and stronger. In fact, from all worldly perspectives, whatever worldly angle you want to look at Jesus' life, he looked like a complete failure. He never did attain riches. He never did climb the positions that would have been the pinnacle of success. He died relatively young. He died a humiliating death. He was deserted by most of his friends and crucified as a common malefactor. It's not that Jesus couldn't have been successful in the way that we understand success. He was, after all, the Son of God. He was the one through whom all things are held together, the one through whom everything was made. Had Jesus wanted to, he could have climbed the pinnacle of success. Had Jesus had wanted to, he could have been the Caesar of all Caesars. Had Jesus wanted to, he could have had anything that he wanted. But he chose not to do that. Instead, he chose to live a completely different way of life. The way of truth. The way of love. The way of self-denial. The way of self-giving. That was the way that Jesus chose to walk. The way that Jesus chose to live. And what was it that gave Jesus the power to be able to do that? What was it that gave Jesus the power to be able to deny himself, that gave him the power to be able to be completely obedient to God, that gave him the power to give himself to die on the cross? What was it that gave Jesus the power to do that? You guessed it. It was the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Spirit that came to rest on Jesus himself. Over 35 years ago, I remember when I graduated from college and went down to Atlanta. And I remember one of the first things that I did was to look for a church. Wanted to find a church home. And I started visiting lots of different churches looking for a church home. I was wanting a spiritual church home. So I attended one church. It was a big, charismatic church, wonderful church. It was near, not too far from where I worked. And I started visiting two churches that were, everyone had heard of, famous churches, very well thought of churches. One was a church, Ebenezer Baptist Church. It was the church where Martin Luther King Jr. himself once preached. I went to that church. Wheat Street Baptist Church was another one, a prominent church there in the city of Atlanta. Had a long history of work in the Atlanta area. I attended charismatic churches, all kinds of churches. And I'm not knocking any of those churches that I visited, because they were all wonderful churches filled with wonderful people. But the churches that I found to be most spiritual were not necessarily the big churches. They were not necessarily the prominent churches. They were not necessarily the churches where people were speaking in tongues and dancing in the Spirit. But the churches that I found to be the most spiritual were those churches, sometimes very small churches, sometimes churches that on the outside looked to be struggling, but they were churches where people opened their heart to the Spirit of God and the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. Churches where people gave of themselves, where they did everything in their power to show the love of the Lord Jesus Christ to the neighbors around them. Churches where people were active in ministering to homeless communities. Churches where people were active in ministering to people that everyone else could care less about. I remember in one of the big churches that I visited, talking to a person, he says, I asked him why he liked this church, and he said, I like this church because it has lots of different programs for my children, and that's important to me. The programs are important to me. But in the most spiritual churches that I attended, people weren't concerned about programs for themselves. But they were people who were concerned with giving everything that they had to bring the light and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ to the people around them. People who gave of themselves, who gave of their building, who gave everything they had to bring the light and the love of God to the world around them. They were people of truth, people of love, people who practice self-denial and self-giving love, all for the sake of bringing a little bit of heaven here in the midst of the world. I remember asking one woman how they did it. They were just a small little church, and every Tuesday they would gather together and they would wash the feet of homeless people who camped out in a park not far from them. And again, they didn't have a whole lot of resources, and so I said, how do you guys do this? What is it that propels you to do it? You don't have a lot of resources, you're just a small little church. How do you give yourself in this way? And she said, it's not us. We can't do anything on our own. But it's the power of God's Spirit being poured upon us. Without the Spirit of God, we could do nothing. And it's that same Holy Spirit that is poured out upon each and every one of us this morning. You and I are the in-between people. We are the people who live in this world, and yet we are people who are born of heaven. We are the people who have the Spirit of God all over us, just like Jesus did. And we are the people who are called not to rest on our laurels. We are called not to be content with the world the way that it is. We are called not to be preoccupied with our own selves, but we are called to go out into the world and to bring the love and light of the Lord Jesus Christ to this community, to this city, to this world. And isn't that what our world needs right now? In a world where there are all kinds of spirits blowing. Spirits of hatred, spirits of greed, spirits of disregard for our fellow human beings, spirits of violence, all of those spirits are blowing in our world. But you and I have a different spirit upon us. We have a loving spirit, a caring spirit, a holy spirit. Because it's the Spirit of God. And it's the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's the Spirit of the church. And so we pray this morning that we will always be open to that Spirit, because it is the only Spirit that can bring healing and redemption to our broken world. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, on this Pentecost Sunday, we are reminded that it is only because of your power that we have the life that you have given us. You have blown the breath of your life into us, not only into us as individuals, but you have breathed the breath of your life into this church, and to all churches and to all of your people. We ask, Lord, that you help us again to be open to that movement as we go out into the world bringing your power, the power of love, the power of self-giving to all those that we encounter. Help us never to be content, but to discern where your spirit might be moving us as we engage your world with the truth and power of the gospel. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.